All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Ephesians in the 4th chapter. We will read from verse 11 through to verse 16. We'll go ahead and get started this evening. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may, say this word with me tonight, grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God, we thank you tonight and praise you for this opportunity you have given us to come into your presence and to dive into your word and to learn many and great wonderful things. But God, we need you to direct our minds and hearts, that every word be of you, Lord. And God, I pray for this people tonight. God, I pray that your anointing will direct their attention unto your word. And I pray, God, that we stop making excuses and step into what you have us to do, to stop looking to the left or to the right and begin to move forward. For God, there is only one way, and help us to follow that way. And Lord, I pray, God, that you anoint your messenger. Lord, we'll not know the next time we get to stand. Help us preach tonight like we've never preached before, in the name of Jesus. In the church, sin. Let me read something to you tonight and we'll get started. God's purpose is to build up the body of Christ. It is not your agenda, not your ideals, nor your doctrines. It is to build up the body of Christ by the saving of souls and the renewing of weary hearts. The Lord began to speak to me as I begin to pray here for this facility. And I look at it and it's wonderful and it's a blessing of what we're going to do with it. But in order to use properly what God has given you, you have to begin to learn to understand what we need to be doing as a part of that ministry. Not everybody maybe understands what they need to be doing. We all know we need to be doing something, but maybe at some point feel mixed up in our calling about what we need to be tending to. Some of us may be going during the week and feel a burning desire of God to do something, but are not sure which way to go with it. And I want to bring out a little bit out of these scriptures tonight, and Lord help me, and I'll try to get out what the Holy Spirit has put inside of me. Let's go back to verse 11, and you read in those words, you read the words, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We know that as our folded ministry, the five-folded ministry. And let me tell you about the roles of each of these things. Apostles and prophets, we are to listen to them through their writings and words. Evangelists come to teach the value of winning souls. They're not there to put on a show, by the way. Pastors and teachers are there to encourage people in their faith. And ultimately, when you put the five-fold ministry to work, you're beginning to perfect or mature the saints that are coming together. So if we're not growing up, something's wrong. Amen or oh me. If we're not growing up, something's wrong. If we're in the same old boat that we were a year ago, something's wrong. If we're not getting in deeper than we were before, something's wrong. And we can make every excuse that we want to, but the fact of the matter is, there comes a point inside of your heart where you have to decide that God is far more important to you than the food that you eat, than the water that you drink, than the air that you breathe, than the time that you spend in the world. You've got to make a decision actively in your life that says God is number one. We reflect that decision by how we come in and are able to execute the ministry. So if we are not accomplishing teaching people, if I'm not coming in and being a part of building up your faith, then one has the right to take a stand and say, hey, there's something wrong with this picture. I know that maybe you've been in a place, and I did this just the other day. I drove into Nashville. I was on a business trip, and they said, we want you to come to dinner with us. I didn't know who anybody was, but they said, you're welcome to come. So I walked my way over there with my GPS. I was feeling good, brother. I was like, all right, I found it. I know where they're going to be. But they had several different private rooms that were back through there. And as I began to look in there, I looked inside and think, I don't really recognize anybody. And there was something about that I did not want to step through the door. You know what I mean? And then I looked down the next hallway and I thought, well, maybe this is it. And no, I don't recognize anybody there either. And then I thought, surely they didn't invite me and prank me to show up and nobody come. Which, I mean, that's happened before. So I thought, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. But then I just stood there and I waited. And as I began to wait, I looked out in the distance and saw them coming in the door. They were late. So let me preach a little bit to you, if that's all right. Just because everybody falls in and jumps in and begins to dance and shout and praise the Lord does not mean that you need to go through the door until you're feeling the almighty power and presence of God. Because what ends up happening in that situation is that we're trying to demonstrate our talents, but the anointing is not causing signs and wonders and miracles to be followed by that. So you're going to find that there will be people around you that are making noise, that are doing things that aren't of the Holy Ghost. You can pull up and eat or not. I don't know when I'll be back, but I'm just going to preach it anyway. When you have more excuses about why it didn't go right than you do actions that you took to try to get it there, then we're not doing enough to execute the ministry. Because here's the bottom line. No matter what anybody else has told you, this is what the Bible tells us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If what we come in to do does not execute the message of salvation, then we're missing the call of the ministry. If what we're coming in to do does not exhibit the joy and the glee of the Holy Ghost, then people are looking at us and seeing the world just like they see out there. We're about to talk to each other. Look over at your neighbor and tell them, you've got something to do. You may not know the person next to you, but you tell them like they're your best friend. You tell them, you've got something to do. We're going to dive into it. Are we ready tonight? I'll do the heavy lifting. You just amen every now and then, all right? Let's go into verse 12. We're going to talk about the who of doing the work in the ministry. Let's read verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. So we already know that it's us. Look over somebody and say, it's you and me. It's us together. We are the saints of God. Are you blood-bought in here tonight? Are you saved and delivered? Are you set free? Then that means that you're a part of the saints. So if you're wondering who is to do the work of the ministry, guess what? It's you and me. We all have something that we need to be doing in here. So we're understanding the who, right? But now we're going to get into the good stuff. The what. What should we be doing? Generally, I'm going to give you a general answer, and then we're going to dig in a little deeper. The answer is anything that builds up the body of Christ. That can go across a spectrum of a multitude of things. Just your encouragement to me helps me take another step forward. Our praises. Sometimes we know not, Jamie, the impact we have on people when we pour out our heart. Sometimes we can't even see where God is ministering and how that He is moving. And you might walk away with regret sometimes and thinking, oh Lord, what have I done tonight? But you have no idea sometimes how God will reach out and bless somebody. We all have something to do. We all have something to build up in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm glad that the sister touched on it tonight, that we are all fit together differently, jointly, as one. So we all have different functions in the church, but they're ultimately executing the gift of the ministry. God gave us the ministry as a privilege. It is not an obligation. God gave us the calling to do His work because He loved us and wanted us to build up His kingdom. He don't want you coming in and acting like it's the worst thing you've ever had in your life. Have you ever ate a bad meal before, had that sour look on your face, didn't enjoy a scene? He don't want you coming in and acting like that it is so hard for you to get into the presence of God. If it is too much for you to do these little tasks and here and there, get free and get back in Him again, and then start praying about what you need to be doing. Because while it's wonderful that we're moving things forward, while it's wonderful that we're starting to see things come together in our vision, it has nothing to do with what you see that builds up the kingdom of heaven. Man, I feel the power of God. It has nothing to do with what builds up the kingdom of heaven, but what you contribute as you bless out of your ministry brings it together. What I'm standing on today was built by people that don't even go here anymore. The foundation that is holding this up was built by people that don't no longer attend. They'll never know how much that we can be thankful for their efforts, but I am. I'm thankful for every piece of hardwood and every piece of carpet that's been put down. But I realize that all of this that has been put together is for the calling of the ministry. He has brought us to this place to not come in and feel like that we've arrived to where we wanted to go. You see, He's enlarged our borders so that He can put us on a higher platform, that we can begin to execute the ministry greater. Everybody said, well, brother, we don't have enough room. Brother, it's too hard to get out of the pew to come in and enjoy myself. Well, you've got plenty of running room now, church. That, brother, it's too loud in that other church. It's too small. So we bought better equipment in order to bring that. So it's like every single time that we've ever said anything to God that's kept us hindered, He has blessed us with another platform to do it. But now we're coming in, and I'm telling you right now that God wants us to begin to do the word execute. He wants us to act upon what He has called us to do, because until we're doing that, we cannot see His hand intervene. I'm getting excited. Glory to God. Are we ready for this? Should I wait? Should I go on? Number one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. We are in charge of comforting the sick and the sorrowful. And I'm here to tell you tonight, when we read about that, being able to give somebody love for their work's sake, that means you ought to be able to amen me every day, all day, every day, all the time, after every single time that I ever say a word. We ought to be able to stand up and praise the Lord together and worship when people begin to pour out their hearts. We ought to begin to recognize that when people are doing their work's sake, we ought to help them and love them in it. Because you're not doing it for somebody. You're doing it for Him. You're not doing it to please me. You're doing it for Him. If you want me to preach better, why don't you pray for me? If you want me to preach better, get in with me, that the anointing of God begin to flow. Don't leave me standing at the hill trying to pull a dump truck up by myself. You ought to get with me and start pulling the load together, because the more that we come together, the less that can keep us from what God wants us to do. I'm here to tell you right now, there's no excuse on earth that's going to cause us to be exempt. Let's keep going. Number two, James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I like to take many different interpretations of this. I like to take the literal meaning, and that means if you know somebody that's lost somebody, you ought to care for them and see after them and see how they're doing. You ought not leave them after the funeral and say, oh, I'll just pray for them. You ought to take the time to say, hey, how you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? I'm here to help you. Because until it's your loss, you don't really know what it feels like. Until it's your loved one, you'll never know the pain. And that's why God told us to go and comfort after them. I also like to see widowed as people that are trying to find a place in God, but have been severed and separated from some bad situation. And I'm here to tell you, if you need a place, you have a place here. If you need a place to sit, you need a place to worship, you have a place right here. If you need somebody to stand with you, even though you've been separated from everything that you've ever known, I'm here to tell you, I'm standing with you. You might have been the choir leader at another church. You might have been the piano player, but that doesn't mean that the work stops now. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to stand with you that we execute the ministry. You can't have enough piano players. Because you still find the way of services where we're struggling to find one. You can't have enough musicians and singers because schedules vary and sometimes people are gone. You can't have enough people that'll come and stand and worship before the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're in the shortage of that. Why? For the hearing of the word. People, we have the model totally backwards. And let me tell you, I feel the pressure. You might not think I do. You might not think people that preach do. But I feel the pressure sometimes. I see the look in people's eyes when they're looking back at me. I see the thoughts beginning to turn inside of their head because they're thinking of anything they can say that can trump whatever God's trying to tell them in the Word. But I'm here to tell you, no matter how heavy that the pressure gets, I know that the days are coming short and the nights are getting darker. And if I don't learn to begin to stand in the exact truth of the Word of God, then we're going to be led astray by every wind of doctrine that's out here. If you're going to get mad at me and come and critique my sermon, then I encourage you to do so. You know why? Because at least you're paying attention. I'm here to tell you right now that we've got to do more than just sit back and say amen. We've got to begin to live what God is trying to speak. I could tell you all day long about how good He is, but until you get in to where the goodness is, you're missing out on what God wants you to have. I could tell you all day long how wonderful it is to be saved. But until you confess that Jesus is Lord, you'll never know the goodness of God. I could sit here and tell you how wonderful it feels to dance before the Lord in the Holy Ghost. But until you get up and begin to try for yourself, you're just going to judge me? Well, that's fine. I have all the critics in the world. You know what they do? They give me a stepping stone. I preach too long. That's fine. I'm going on. You don't like the contents? That's fine. I'm going on. You don't want me here anymore? That's fine. I'll move right on. I don't have time to sit around and play politics with people. I don't have time to keep coming in and acting like that we forgot how to worship God. I don't have time to keep coming in and trying to preach you to the point where you enjoy your life again. You ought to already know that God is good. You ought to know that God is in control. So instead of God leading through the minister to teach the people, we have the people trying to mold the minister to please themselves. But if you thought I was that guy, I'm sad to say, my friends, I'm not that guy. We can agree to disagree. You can come to me and tell me you didn't like something, and you know what? It might hurt my feel goods, but I'm going to go on. You might not enjoy the song selection. You might have something to say to the leadership and tell them what you think. And you know what? I don't see a suggestion box around here, but you're welcome to tell me what you think. But what you think has no bearing on what God wants to do in the service. So if you're not going to come in and be in agreement, then by default, you're being a stumbling block to the ultimate potential of God. He wouldn't want to pack a church full of 5,000 people only to have three people stand up and worship Him. He doesn't want to pack a place full just to have everybody come and enjoy the music, because this is not paid spectatorship. We are not here enjoying a concert. We're not here enjoying a speaker. This is an ever serious word of God that is trying to mold our lives to be prepared when Satan is coming. Some of you may wonder, how does he know? I don't know anything. God knows. But you know what I can bear witness to? You might enjoy the word, But I can tell when people are listening and when they're not. You want to know how? Not even by tonight, but how you live, how you enjoy your life. Are you seriously happy with your life? Are you content with such as you have? Are you satisfied whether the wind blows on the left or on the right? If the answer is no at any point, then you need to get renewed. Because God don't want you coming in here out of obligation. He don't want you coming in here because you'll make somebody mad if you don't show up. He don't want you just to sit back and act like you have no part of the body. He called us to be one body, one mind, one accord, one spirit. So I realize, Lord, in the grand scheme of things, some of you aren't ready for this. Put your seatbelt on. In the grand scheme of things, when we begin to evaluate what we're doing, one would have to ask themselves, is it enough to get people saved? One would have to ask themselves, is what I'm doing from the bottom of my heart? One has to begin to ask themselves, am I doing all that I can? Because even if other people sit back and you're pouring your heart out, honey, God sees it and knows it. And He's not going to abandon you. There's been times that God has blessed me immediately following a service where it was a struggle from the beginning to the end. But you know what? I came in and poured out every single drop that I had inside of me. So other people might hate on it. They may not get in with you. They may not agree with you. But you come in, honey, and you pour out all that you are, and God's going to take care of you. But the truth of the matter is, we have to evaluate from the very beginning of a service until its conclusion and begin to seek God to say, what can we do better to promote your salvation? What can we do better to bring a greater exhibiting of the Holy Spirit? For those of you that are trying, I'm here to encourage you to keep going. Keep enjoying yourself. Keep dancing. Keep having a good time. But for those of you that maybe have been on the fence about this, I'm here to clarify, not by my words or my opinion, but by His word, we as the saints of God are to do this together. How many of you have ever been to church before and felt like you were the only one there? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I've been there. Let's go on before I dig too deep. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That means being a caregiver for the physical needs of others. I know a lot of people, when my grandmother was still living, she didn't want to be by herself, ever. And her children loved her enough to never leave her an evening alone. But when you are in the hospital and everybody works, it's hard to pull it together. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with somebody that is in a physical struggle or ever been in the hospital and you've had to go, it wears on you over time. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll step out and do it, even when nobody sees it, even when the evangelists don't have time to see what you're doing, God knows. And if you'll pour out your love to others, I can just about guarantee there'll never be a moment where you're ever alone or ever feel like God has left you. I know one day that I may be in the position where I'm not able to take care of myself. And the one thing that I'm afraid of more than anything is the day that I have to fully depend on somebody else. I've lived my whole life wanting to be independent. I've lived my whole life wanting to be able to handle things on my own. Anybody else in the house of God have an independent heart? I wanted to do everything I knew on my own, but then I've realized that I can't do everything in life on my own. I have to lean and depend on other people. I need you as much as I need God. Because if God is in you, then I can depend on you. And as we are here, we are to cultivate friendships, my brother. We're to get to know one another and appreciate where all of us have been, because it teaches us more about each other. Until you get to know your body, you may not even know something's wrong. Until somebody saw me one day, they realized, brother, you got some moles on you, sir. You may need to get that checked out. Okay. I didn't know anything about it. And so now they went and looked and saw, and there's a few spots they're going to look at. We'll see. But it's amazing to me what another pair of eyes on the situation can do. It's amazing to me that as we get to know our body and the body of Christ, then we begin to learn the strengths of one another. We can begin to learn what people have as good things they can do. And if we begin to know each other on this level, my friends, then we'll know who we should be looking to execute a certain part of the ministry. Let me tell you what you don't want to do. You don't give an evangelist the task of testifying, because that's not what they're called to do. Evangelists aren't called to testify. That's why they take 20 minutes to testify. They're not called to testify. You bring an evangelist in to preach the word. You don't try to put a preacher on a teacher's seat, because a teacher has a different kind of patience than a preacher will. You can't put a pastor in a preacher's position, because a pastor's there to nurture. A preacher's there sometimes to prune, to prod, to pick, to cut down all these things that are trying to come up. But we've got to learn to tend to the needs of others. But we don't see that as important most of the time. I'm going to just confess on my own. There are at least 10 people I know right now that if I wrote them a letter and put it in the mail, it would bless them. They're not texters. They're not emailers. They're older folks. But if I just took that step to do it, oh, what a blessing it'd be. There are people I know that if I just called them to say, I just wanted to make sure you're okay, that, oh, what a wonderful exhortation that is to people. There's sometimes that just getting to see some of your faces here week after week blesses me to know that God is in you and you're still standing. That means something when you begin to recognize and get to know the body that's around you. Romans 15, 25 and 26. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. If we have and we do not supply for a need we know, then I can just about guarantee every dime that you spend for your own agenda will not prosper. I've learned that my income is not an indicator of how blessed I am. My income is an indicator of how much God wants me to use for His glory. I understand that you've got to get the bills paid. I understand you got to eat. I understand that you've got to eat cookies. I understand that you've got to go out and have fun every now and again. But I can just about guarantee you that there's something in your life, in your provision, that if you would just supply it unto somebody else, what a mighty blessing it would be in somebody else's life. You know, there are people that when winter comes, they don't even have a coat. But if we took the time to put a pile of coats together, you would keep some people out of the cold. There are children that are starving in third world countries that can make $1,000 go for 5 years long. There are people that don't have clean drinking water, that if we supply just a little bit of time and effort to that ministry, that we could see people be blessed in ways that we take advantage of every single day when we flush the toilet, turn the sink on. So I'm telling you, there's a multitude of things that we can do, but you've got to be focused on what's important. Now, I'm not talking about tithing.